I hear you popped up at Yankee camp.
I did. Your brother, actually, it was pretty cool because I got a nice little text from him. He said, why don't you get down here and come into camp and take a look at some guys and just to have you in camp would be great. So I've done it before with the Astros. I popped into Red Sox camp a little bit. Like I said, I do stuff with the Astros Foundation. And I'm coming to Florida anyway to do a couple appearances. And then, you know, my youngest Cody's with Philadelphia. So it works out perfect. Had a wonderful time. Your brother got me up in front of the team. So I gave him a little Newt Rockne talk. But it was good. I visited with probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 pitchers today. So it's cool. It kind of made me think back when I had the luxury and the privilege to pitch. I think I was 21, 22 years old, my first couple of years in Boston. And we traded for Tom Seaver. I consider Tom Seaver the ultimate power pitcher. It kind of felt like that I'm kind of reliving that and doing what Tom Terrific did for somebody like me. You do a lot of listening and watching.
I think it's cool, and I think the Yankees do a really good job with it. I'm really glad, because you mentioned when we were playing, and I remember I grew up in this. I grew up, my dad played my entire life. He was in the big
leagues. Absolutely. That's so cool.
So really, for me as a kid, it was kind of, I was spoiled, but that was just my life. I didn't know anything else. But once I started doing this for a living and I was in a big league clubhouse as a player, when the old guys that I grew up watching, they'd come to visit, I thought it was awesome. And just to sit down and talk with these guys, I think a lot of clubs should do it. You know, you go to a ball game and you can sit there for you in Boston or New York. I know you played in Toronto and Houston as well. But I always thought about it, and I talked to Aaron about it all the time. I said, I think it's really cool for a grandpa, a dad, and a son to go to a Yankee game. You know, the grandpa can sit there and talk about, you know, until recently, some of those old timers. The son's talking about Derek Jeter or Roger Clemens. And then the kid's there to see Aaron Judge. I think it's the ultimate experience. I think every club should do it with their past stars.
Yeah, I love it too, Boney. So, I mean, again, when I see Guidry, Willie Randolph, I see the Gator out there, Willie Randolph. And, you know, I was fortunate to play with two historic teams, Boston and New York. When they'd have the old timer game, it was just like on the bench is a friggin' who's who. So if I ever get a chance to write it down, you know, What is the biggest lie you tell yourself is that I don't need to write it down because I'll remember it. Yeah. I got to start writing stuff down because, you know, playing 9 holes of golf with Mickey Mantle when the Mick was struggling, or out at the Bob Hope tournament and my playing partner's Yogi Bear. And, you know, I love the history part of it. I mean, I think that's what I'd be doing if I didn't play 24 years. I tell people that's what I did for a living. It's not who I am as a person. I loved it. I did it to my fullest. Like I said, my granny said it best. If you're going to be a ditch digger, you'd be the best damn ditch digger in the country. And I got my work ethics from my mom. And, you know, my pops passed away when I was 9. So my mom worked 3 jobs right there in Houston. And so she gave me my work ethic and everything like that. But she also wrote me a great poem about, you know, when I got drafted by the Red Sox, I was like, where am I going? You know, I had no idea. And she wrote me a nice poem about Fenway Park and I got to be around a lot of history. Fenway Park, old Yankee Stadium. New Yankee Stadium's cool. It's kind of like you go to a stadium or you go to the mall and there's this baseball stadium there. But because you were up in the booth calling the game, man, we were into some massive, massive games, massive comebacks. There's a couple of times that I felt the upper deck shaking where I thought the place was going to fall down, but just great history. And like you said, you came from a wonderful baseball family. I felt privileged to play as long as I did because my boys that are playing now and Cody, like I said, still with the Phillies, they made comments of it, you know, hey Pops, you stood right where Lou Gehrig gave his farewell speech or where Babe Ruth, you know, took his at bats. And so when you play long enough and they realize that, and, you know, that's pretty special. And it was fun for me today to sit back And it was my first time to see him address a professional, squad, a professional team, and, the expectations and getting guys. It's the same thing we talked about, being focused. When I got up in front of you, he asked me if I wanted to talk, and I said, I just hit on a couple of things that we talked about, being focused. I hope everybody in the room was still a little pissed off about how it ended last year for him, because right. You do all that work. You're not going to wear your second place ring at any point. And so, it was just like, and there's no days off when you, especially again, you bring a presence and a baseball name with you to the plate. So you're going to get my best. Your brother's going to get my best. I looked at Aaron Judge. I said, you're going to get my best. There's no days off. And, yeah. And the same thing when you were at the plate, you got the bat through the zone. And you're one that, again, you gain people's respect because you can hurt somebody and change the course of a ball game pretty quick. So I always said that really, really in the American League, spending all my time in American League, then jumping over I was pitching at 45 years old with the Astros when they were in the National League. You might have a few guys on top of the order won't hurt you, a couple guys with a pitcher at the bottom of the order. Coming to the American League, you got you leading off. You got a Soriano leading off with 30 bombs, 100 RBIs. Lay that little 92-mile-an-hour sinker in there, and you don't get it back sometimes. So you got to pay attention to detail. That was kind of my theme to the pitchers today in camp about the focus meter. I was watching a couple guys throw their bullpens. That stadium, George Steinbrenner Field, sits right next to a freeway. You can hear people honking. You can hear dump trucks going by. People are moving around in the cages. And I just asked Giddy. He had a not a great bullpen. He's beating himself up. I said, well, first of all, it's late February, so you're already ahead of the game. And as you get deeper into spring training, your focus gets really in tune with just a catcher's mitt. I know Albert Pujols or Brett Boone is at the plate. I know who's at the plate. I know you're there, but I'm still focused on my runway. I mean, I'd have the ground crew guys mow the last mow job at Fenway and Yankee Stadium right down Broadway like a bowling lane. And it gave me great lines to get through to my catcher. I mean, so there's just little things that, again, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir to some of these guys, but then they're like, really? You did what? I go, come on, dude. I said, when I'm warming up when I leave the hotel, I know which way the wind's blowing at the stadium. And absolutely. I know when I'm warming up in the bullpen that it's going to be different when I get to the main mound. So I said, how in-depth do you know? I love analytics, Booney. I'm kind of in the middle of the road. I'm not high or not low on it. I get it where they're going, but don't turn into a robot, on me. And I still believe, Mel Stoudemire, all my pitching coach, really, I would be honest with him. And I said, I need you to give me an eye and a heart test before you come get me in the seventh inning or whatever. And yeah, you can hear me grunting, my mouth's open, I'm getting a little tired. We're at 120 pitches at the time. So there's a lot to cover where I don't really get into it with these other pitchers about worry about glove side, arm side. And I'm like, dude, man, I said, I'm with you on that, but I'm just going to give you three hot points that'll get you to the promised land. I know they work because I did it for 24 years, So I enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm glad your brother asked me to come down. So I'm going to be in camp with him for another, I think, 4 days, and then I bounce out to get something done on the West Coast, and then I'll be back for another 4 days, and they'll be on their way.
But I think it's awesome, and a guy like you coming in, when you talk, people are going to listen. I mean, just that little thing you talked about right there, farthest thing from my repertoire being a pitcher. But to have that bowling lane, and that's the way, that's probably something a lot of these guys that play today, they've never heard that. And it's as simple as that. And sometimes I have a son-in-law that's plays with the Braves, young guy, couldn't be a better kid. And I kind of stay out of his way as much as I can. But when I'm asked, pull up a chair and we're going to have a talk. I'm not going to bug you. I'm not going to critique you.
Yeah, I love that.
But he'll, and sometimes he's a young player. And I say to him, I said, listen, man, this game is so hard. Look what you've done here. Look what you've done here. At the end of the day, we can talk about all these numbers and what your angles are and this and that. At the end of the day, you're a hitter and you just got to hit. Sometimes you got to get a good pitch to hit and knock the shit out of it and throw those angles out the window. Let's simplify. This is hard enough. I don't need to go have a BP session, move the ball around the cage going, that's good. I can hear it. I know that's good. I don't need a computer printout to tell me, okay, your exit velocity was this, so I can drive home and think about, well, why was my exit velocity this today, but it was this yesterday. Now I got something in my brain. It's almost like you're going to the kingdom and your son's going to get fit for clubs at TaylorMade. It's almost like some of the analytics nowadays in baseball, they're training like golfers. And I tell people all the time, golf is one thing. You got to hit a ball on a pin to a certain degree. Baseball, hooks and slices, they're doubles. So it's different, yet I think we're training in a similar way. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No, but I'll just tell you this about golf. You know we're in trouble, Booney, when all of our clubs go the same distance. You know, I'm getting in trouble now. It's like, damn, all my clubs are going to – no, but you're right. And I'm not so sure that some of those labs that you go to with golf don't tee you up a little bit. Next thing you know, you're hitting your 7-iron another 9 yards. You're like, wow. Yeah. And they just teed you up. But you said it perfectly. I stay out of the ball. All the boys played professionally. And being a pitcher, they're all hitters. So I kind of stayed out of their way. If they ask me a pointed question, I'll get pointed with them. There's sometimes when you just got to flat out say, hey, tonight that pitcher was just flat out better than you. I mean, that's just the bottom line. He was better than you. And we just kind of give them a real nice pointed answer. Same thing with the pitchers. I give them the hot points. I've told them I've had rookie pitching coaches that were nervous to talk to me with my credentials. I said, no, I need your eyes to focus on these three things that I do. And if I get out of balance with them, that's all you have. You don't have to come out to the mound. You just have to whistle from the dugout and tell me that feel tall. So you work downhill. Obviously, my steering wheel, I want that thing quiet and pointed mainly inside of that white stripe of right-handed batter, because I want – most of the guys said, Rocky, you know, you always made me feel uncomfortable. You look like you're coming in on me the whole time. And I said, good. That's mechanics right there. I want you to feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's pitching. 17-inch plate, make it a 24-inch plate. It's simple math. Again, so some of the stuff can get, like you said, too – technical. Guys are turning into robots, you know, trying to, you know, I said, it's easy to finish forward where you're falling off and doing this or doing that. It's a real simple, it's a real simple fix. Some big, strong dudes I ran into, a couple pitchers thick, even thicker than I were, they look like defensive ends. And you could tell they could get a little muscly with their left side. And he says, you know, one ball comes out of my hand good. And I said, listen, I stood here and watched you and your whole bullpen. Your two pitching coaches were behind you. And every time about every fourth pitch, they said, good, good. And I don't know if they were looking at the screen with the spin rate and all that stuff. But I said, did you hear him say good? And he goes, yeah, I did. And I said, so you have to be your own pitching coach. That's a ball that you threw very well. You got to be able to repeat that. Another guy was just throwing. He wasn't pitching. I said, stop right now and reset. You pitch. Every time you do anything, you pitch. You don't throw. You're a pitcher. You pitch. And it's quality. You don't have to be out here for, unless you're working on your breaking ball or your grip or something. Something's not, you know, right that you're doing. But everything we do is quality, not quantity. And you pitch. I mean, my bullpens, I had a routine and I pitched from right from the get-go. I come in from long toss. I told him your core work, you're responsible for three, you know, you're how you are physically, being in shape. That's all on you. I mean, you got to come in, you got to be in shape, you got to be ready to go. The second part of Booney is, you know, the mental part of the game. The mental part of the game, I'm going to frigging crush you. And that's why I told these guys, take that little, as you get mid-March, where you're a couple weeks from starting the season, you got to click that focus meter a couple times. Because you got to get locked in right now. And if you're locked in on that mitt, yeah, Albert, yeah, whoever it is, Trout, Otani, you know they're stepping in the box. You're still trying to execute where you want to go. And you're a big league pitcher. You should get the baseball within a baseball of where that catcher's asking you to get it. Right. If he's asking it for a way and that catcher's got to go all the way back across, you can't have that as a professional pitcher. I tell the A-ball guys that you're getting paid to do this. You're one of the more elite players, even in the minor leagues. So it's just good stuff to get their mind and their head on target. I told them my third part of my game was I pitched with some emotions. And, you know, think about my mom passing, my granny passing, you know, my arm was underwater out there. I'm trying to find something to motivate myself to get through the game. And I tell people, yeah, in 24 years, I showed my ass out there a couple of times. But you know what? I care. I care about how I go about things. And you know, that's part of it. So you're just trying to, you know, like you said, it's a grind, man. It's a even though I'm, you know, one of my sayings is, you know, even though I'm only throwing on every fourth there, whatever it is, that my only day off is the day I pitch. And that held true with the work that's done. I had to get on the guys, too. I said, hey, I'm not getting on your routine, but you just got done throwing three innings in pretty good heat. It wasn't super hot. And next thing you know, you're back inside riding a stationary bike in AC for 8 minutes. That is nothing. You're talking about your elbows cranky. If you throw a headset and your music on and hit that warning track for about 2 miles for about 14-minute run, you won't believe how that flushes your body out and what it does for your legs. That bicycle's in the air condition is not the same. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, but, no, you I know, agree.
Put your running shoes on and start running laps, man. I'm telling you, it's a whole different world.
And I think, you know, because I'm kind of with you as far as I'm a big believer in gut from a managerial standpoint. I'm a big believer in your manager lives with you for 162 games. If I'm managing Roger Clemens with the credentials you have and you're my horse and I come to the mound, I might not always be thinking I'm taking him out. I'm going to make my decision based on how you answer my question. I know the Roger, when he gives me a certain answer, I know he's done. I know when he gives me this answer, I got to get out of his way and he's keeping the ball. But we know that just from the interaction we have from a team unit, from the relationship you have with your skipper, with your coaches. You Absolutely. Learn each other. You know tendencies. And it's not, well, the computer says we're going to take him out here. No, no, no. The computer, whatever the computer, I'm going to see how Roger answers me. I can shut my eyes and listen to what he says. I can feel if I'm going to take him out or not. That's why to this day, you talk about that 03 season when I was in the booth and you guys are playing the Red Sox. And Grady Little takes out Pedro Martinez. And they asked me, what do you think about that? Or he kept him in. Left and then in. he got chastised for it pretty good for keeping him in. And they asked me my opinion. I said, my opinion? I said, Pedro's the man. I said, Pedro's credentials allows him to dictate in that situation. If he's the fifth starter, if he's some good pitcher, he might not have as much leeway. But for me, skipper, I hear what I hear from my guy. I'm going with him. I'm riding him. We're gonna sink or we're gonna swim. So I was always very, I don't know, with that Grady move. I always backed him. Like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do if Pedro Martinez, your guy, tells you get out of here, skipper? This is my game. I gotta say, it's your game. It's if he says that, it's probably better than whatever I got coming in from the bullpen.
Yeah,
so I'm with you on the analytics.
Yeah, it's a no win situation. I mean, he gets a pop up and a punch out, and you look like
the greatest.
You're the best. So yeah, you're dead on. But like you said, yeah, when you come out, and you're asking me if I can get this next guy, you don't want to hear I think so, or I'm gone. So yeah, the language is big. Mel Stottlemyre and I, I pitched when I was pitching from 40 years old to 45, my last year, I think I was 45 years old. We had a great system. I'd get to the sixth inning or come in after the six full innings. And Mel would be like, hey, I hear you grunting out there. I think you're getting towards the end of your rope. And then we had a thing that when I went back out for the seventh, and we were eating outs now. That first set. So my eight warm-up pitches, Booney, were crisp. I was on target, a little bit more crisper, knowing that when first hitter gets in the box, in the seventh, that if I hit him or I walk him or he gets a base hit, I'm gone. So now I'm really emptying the tank. Boom. And I get an out. And then the next guy pop up. Now, the best closer in the history of the game, he only has to get five outs for me now or four outs because I just, I just ate two more guys and, then they come get me. So that gave me a little more incentive to really empty the tank and lock in on each individual hitter instead of hey, our bullpen spent. I can't go out and have a hiccup and get knocked out of this game in the third inning or something, So yeah, there's all kinds of intangibles, and you like you said, you got to know your players, but it's fun. I mean, again, these guys, I think it was Cash. We were walking. They all wanted to take a big photo of us, the guys, the past players, the past champions that were in camp, and I grabbed Cash because I love Cash. But I looked at him and it got a big laugh out of everybody. There was all the pitchers walk with him. I said, hey, I said, I see the money you're passing out right now to pitchers. They only go three innings cash. I think I think I can go three right now, man. Satchel Paige did it way back when. So